Okay, Alexander, let's talk about the inauguration yesterday of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. At the end of the day, all the military presence, the 30,000 National Guards, troops, the occupation of DC, all the BS about some sort of violence breaking out and all that stuff was just all bull. And it's probably being used more to ginny up fears. And then to use it to go after people. But and Biden gave a speech, and I saw some of the comments from CNN, MSNBC, and who else? Chris Wallace. I mean, these guys are just so pathetic. I mean, I've never seen them kiss up to anybody ever in my life. I think it was Glenn Greenwald said, you don't even see this type of ass kissing in North Korea. You don't even see it there. So what did you make of the whole day's events?
By the way, what Greenwald just said is absolutely true because I've been reading a lot of North Korean material, and awfully complicated though it is. There is no, I mean, it's completely unlike the sort of ass kissing that we've just seen about Biden's speech. First of all, briefly, this obviously there was no risk of any conceivable things going wrong. 50 capitals being stormed across the nation, nothing like that happened. No big protests in Washington, D.C., nothing like that at all. Instead, we had this eerie, spooky inauguration. What a contrast with Donald Trump's return to Mar-a-Lago, where you saw people lining the streets as he drove past. We get instead in Washington this absolutely carefully rehearsed, carefully pre-programmed, ultra-controlled inauguration. Nobody really there. Thousands of troops. Concerns about the reliability of these troops now with FBI checks to find out whether, they can be relied upon. And a speech from Biden, which I get to say is about as unlike what Chris Wallace would have us think as it's possible to get. Very short, just 20 minutes, short sentences, because that seems to be all that Joe Biden is able to cope with. No complicated thinking, invocations of Abraham Lincoln, and talk of an uncivil war, giving the impression that the country is in some sort of massive civil war-like crisis when it clearly isn't. And I find that all really very disturbing, actually, all that kind of language. Lots of unattributed quotes from Lincoln, like, references to, our better angels, which come from Lincoln's first inaugural address. Lots of talk about race and race issues. To an extraordinary extent, actually. Lots of talk about the pandemic. No real plan going forward. Nothing about foreign policy at all. Nothing. No mention of China. A fact, by the way, which the Chinese media have picked up and commented on. No mention of Russia. Nothing about foreign policy. And scarcely anything about economic policy. I mean, you would not know that a lot of people are going through extreme economic hardship and that there is a major economic crisis underway. Just this brief comments. I understand that many Americans view the future with some fear and trepidation. I understand they worry about their jobs, about taking care of their families, about what comes next. I get it. That's it. That's all he has to say about what people up and down the United States are going through. A very spooky inauguration. No plan, no concept of a way forward. It looked very strange to me, I have to say, and very troubling to see.
Yeah, so I'll make an observation followed with a question based on that observation. A city occupied by 30,000 troops, an internal occupation, a country occupying its own capital, a very cold, not warm, inhuman, lack of human beings just watching it. There was no, there's no cheering. There's no people interacting. None of it. Very, very cold, very virtual. Very, I think spooky is a right word, you know, flags instead of people, I think is a sign of what they want the U.S. and eventually the world to become. And that worries me. And the second thing is, and this is the question. So that's my observation, just a very cold, not a human celebration. Yesterday was not a human celebration. It was something else, something very dark. And then, of course, my question is, throughout his 20-minute speech, I thought at the end of the day, Biden did not talk about unity, but I actually thought he declared war on his own citizens. And he pretty much said it, that he's going to go after Americans under this guise of white supremacy, which I don't even understand what that word even means. I mean, I know the dictionary definition, but I don't understand what that word means in practicality. It means nothing, really. But he pretty much said he's going to go after his own citizens. And then on cue, John Brennan went on CNN or MSNBC, anyway, one of the two fake news networks. And he said, not only should the government go after extremists and nationalists and white supremacists, they should also go after libertarians. And there I just kind of said, oh boy, they're just expanding the circle out more and more.
Well, exactly, because can I just say, there's lots of talk about, you know, the uncivil war. That was, you know, what was Biden was saying about the need for unity, about, you know, reconciliation between the blue and the red. Things, by the way, he's again borrowed from Obama. Those are the kind of things Obama used to say. But when you actually drill down, he wants unity entirely on his own terms. He is not reaching out in any way to the other side or acknowledging that this uncivil war has been waged over the last 5 years, largely by his own side. No admission, for example, that Russiagate was wrong. He talks about lies and truth, but he doesn't mention that Russiagate was completely untrue, that there was no basis to it at all, that there were massive lies said there about, you know, Donald Trump being an agent of the Russians, which we now know completely not true. No admission at all that when people talk about protests and violence and, you know, all that kind of thing, well, there were all the events of the summer. No acknowledgement there of any fault on his own side whatsoever. It all comes down to massive, but a criticism of what the other side is doing, and talk as if it is only the other side that is bad, that has got all these dangerous ideas, that, you know, is racist, engages in white supremacy and all those sort of things. So he's obviously looking not for unity. He's looking for victory. That's really what it's all, it seems to me, boils down to. But of course, it's a victory that he is extremely unsure, or rather the people around him are very unsure, in the end, they can win. So they have all these thousands of soldiers there to protect them from whom exactly? But at the same time, as we've learned, they're not even confident about the reliability of those soldiers. So we have the FBI feverishly doing checks to see whether these soldiers are even reliable. And when you have these comments by Brennan, very ominous, and coming after libertarians who are perhaps the most emblematic Americans of all, and emphatically not the kind of forces that, you know, are disruptive in American life. That is, you're quite right in saying, incredibly serious and incredibly ominous comments from Brennan. And when you also have comments from the mayor of DC talking about the need for machine guns everywhere, well, that was also, I thought, incredibly worrying and incredibly concerning. And again, it points to where the real problems, the real uncivil war, who is actually waging it?
So my final question is this, and once again, a question slash observation. This was a celebration, not of America. This was a celebration of the elite of the swamp yesterday. They all came out, the Obamas. I believe I saw the Bushes there as well. The McConnells, the Roberts, Justice Roberts. The entire swamp was there on full display. Obviously, you had no people, just flags underneath them. They were sitting up high. Yeah. They were obviously happy, ecstatic. The media was just gushing.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is how they want everyday life to be in America and in the world, protected by a huge number of troops, of forces, always protecting them. They have their own world, their own bubble that they're going to live in, these elitists, and they're going to have their own cheerleaders in the media who they will give handouts to. And the rest of the people are kind of going to be locked away in their homes, and it's going to be split into two groups, those that go along with the ideology and bank away on their Twitters to ask for people to be canceled and to snitch. And then the other people that are just going to kind of be, wondering, when are they going to be coming after me? And in a way, when's big tech going to be censoring me or something along those lines? Will I be able to open up a bank account? That's going to be the other half of society. And I thought to myself, this is what they want. I guess my question is this. They don't really like Americans or everyday people, do they? They really don't. Chris Wallace, the Bidens, the Bushes, the Obamas, they really do have a disdain for just people. They don't want to see a crowd of people cheering, hugging, dancing, clapping. They don't want any of that.
No, they're frightened of people. That's, I think, what really came across. You said a celebration. There was not very much celebration here. The impression I got, now I have to say this, I mean, I remember, the Soviet Union, again, I'm sorry to come up all the time with these parallels, but it did have something of a feeling of an event on Red Square in, say, 1983. You have the elderly leader, not entirely all there, stumbling through a short speech, which is all he can manage. You have the other big power brokers, the sort of important leaders there, all of the same generation as the leader. I mean, it's quite extraordinary when you look at who the various leadership group in the United States is now, how they are all of that same generation, almost a gerontocracy again, just as you had in the Soviet Union. So if you look at people like, Biden himself, Schumer, Mitch McConnell, who's absolutely part of this group, Bernie Sanders, the Clintons, Hillary and Bill, Jimmy Carter, who's apparently, gets a mention. He wasn't actually there, but he would have been there. But they're all people in the, Nancy Pelosi, they're all people in their 70s and 80s, very remote from the lives of most Americans, inhabiting this Washington bubble. They all know each other. They've all known each other for decades. This is very much a closed, insulated group of people, nervous of their own people, surrounded by security, surrounded by soldiers, not even trusting their own soldiers fully anymore. And talking about unity, but at the same time, clearly afraid of threats from, well, they're not really able to say what those threats are. They are nervous of any kind of spontaneous action at all. You talked about people hugging, people cheering, people being themselves. Well, again, in the Soviet Union, people weren't allowed to be like that. And in this inauguration, they weren't allowed to be like that either. Now, I am not saying that all of America is like this. I mean, we still don't have those kind of pervasive controls that you would have found in the Soviet Union in 1983. But all I will say is, Leonid Brezhnev, if he had been brought back and had attended this event, he would have felt completely at home. It would have been very, very, very familiar to him. And the speech, the inaugural address, full of cliches, full of references, you know, to old leaders, to the past, looking backward, not looking forward. That would have been familiar to him also. He'd have fitted in very well into this kind of event.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Berkhurst, thank you very much. Guys, look for us on BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey. You'll find links down below, PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and Bitcoin. You'll find those links down below as well. That really helps out this channel. And go to the Durant Shop hoodie and hoodie. Alexander has a hoodie of the hoodie. UK flag. I have a hoodie of the Japanese
actually flag. Actually, it's the flag of England.
It's England.
Here is the UK flag, the Union Jack, on my magic mug. You'll find lots of mugs with lots of flags. You'll find the flags on our great T-shirts, long sleeve and short sleeves. You will find, of course, we've got hoodies, as you can see, and sweatshirts and hats and other great things. And also, please look us up on our other platforms, BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, Library, the rest, and support us through PayPal, Subscribestar, and Patreon. And we look forward to seeing you on our next program.
All right. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.